verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And as you're getting there, we all know that today is Sunday, the Sunday that we recognize as resurrection of our wonderful, gracious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me say that some people refer to this day as Easter. I want to show us today that the word Easter has nothing at all to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, Easter is another word for the pagan goddess, Ashtaroth, which we read about in the Old Testament. I'm not here to bust anybody's Easter bubble. It's not what I'm here for. But I want to inform people about this word Easter and the fact that it is as pagan as it gets. And let me point out that the word Easter is found only one time in the King James Version of the Bible. The people that penned down the KJV put this word Easter here for you and I to understand that King Herod, which we're going to read about in our text here, was not all interested in what Christians in that day believed. He didn't care. Herod was a pagan who was simply going to wait until after the pagan holiday of Easter to kill Peter. That's what it was all about. So let's read starting in verse 1 of Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now I want you to look closely at, then were the days of unleavened bread. I'm going to bring that out in this message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word, and we're thankful that we can take your word and we can find the truths of what really is going on in the world, what's truths of what's really out there, what you would have for us, and why we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior every single Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And we thank you for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for his shed blood that cleanses us from all our sins. And Father, this morning I'd ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you would give me the very words to preach, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word. And I pray, Father, that your word would go out and it would touch our hearts. It would change our lives for the better. And Father, that we'd be drawn closer to you and that you would be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The celebration of Easter Sunday is recognized as the most important religious holiday of what claims to be Christianity. And yet, the holiday doesn't have anything or any origin or anything whatsoever from the teaching of Christ, the teaching of his apostles, or anywhere else in the Bible for that matter. It's not there. It's not there. Now, I know that some people are going to say, where do you get this stuff? By searching the scriptures, by studying the Word of God. It's there if we want it, but it's easy because even I was raised that Easter was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. As I got older, I started studying it and I thought, why is Easter always on a different Sunday as it goes through time? It's never on the same Sunday. And you know why? Because it follows the lunar calendar. It does not follow the Jewish calendar at all. Because it's a pagan holiday. So it follows the lunar calendar. People say, well, you're out of your ever-loving mind. I won't dispute that. But I will tell you that I do know what the Bible teaches, and I do know that this is accurate. And so the word Easter, the English word for Ishtar, is found only once in the King James Version of the Bible, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. And there it was intentionally translated from the Greek word Pascha to Easter. It was translated Passover in 28 other locations in the King James Version of the Bible in the New Testament. Easter was not celebrated as a so-called Christian holiday until after the Catholic Nicene Council was convened in 325 AD. See, it had nothing to do with what Christ taught, had nothing to do with what the apostles taught. It was a man-made thing. Prior to that time, the holiday by the name Ishtar was and is still pagan today. The holiday was celebrated for thousands of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. For thousands of years. So how could it be related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Be a little hard to put something that was celebrated thousands of years before he was even here. Thousands of years before he ever died that he could rise again from the grave. Thousands of years before what most people in the world today celebrate as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter was a religious celebration to the pagan queen of heaven, in quotes, the so-called mother of life, and the goddess Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. You're going to see how that plays into all of what they celebrate as Easter, right? Jesus Christ was crucified at the exact time the Passover lambs were being slaughtered for the Passover meal. Exactly. And this was always before sundown. Always. On the day before the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let's realize that now the Passover was ended. Because we read in our text, then were the days of unleavened bread. The days of unleavened bread begin the day after Passover. The day after. And since that is a fact, Passover and Easter cannot be referring to the same period of time. Two different subjects. We're looking at two entirely different subjects here. We ought to thank God that they put these words, then were the days of unleavened bread, right here in Scripture. Because it points out that the pagan holiday, Ishtar and Passover, are not the same. Neither can they be. Let me remind you that our King James Version of the Bible is the only Bible that does this. It's the only one that points this out for us. God has preserved His Word, as He said He would. His truths have been preserved, and He's given them for us to read them and to know them. After sundown, the Jews ate the Passover. They ate the Passover meal after sundown. The next day was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a high day, especially a special holy day Sabbath. His resurrection on the third day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he was in the grave, the heart of the earth, as the Bible tells us, 3 days and three nights, exactly as he had told his disciples. Another untruth that is widely spread is Jesus was crucified on Friday. Another one that rubs me the wrong way. I have a calendar at home, and it said Good Friday on Friday. So I took a black marker and marked it out. No such thing as Good Friday. Those who are following that are following a pagan holiday. And they continue. And that's not the only thing that they're doing. They continue to do this on and on and on. If that was so, then he could not have been in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, right? How do you get that he was crucified on Friday and that he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth and rose by Sunday morning? I don't care if you use the new math or the old math, it doesn't add up. It just doesn't work. So this idea of Good Friday is man-made. Sometime between sundown on Saturday, which is when their day began, and sunup Sunday morning, he arose. Keep in mind that the Jewish day begins at sundown, not at 12 midnight, as the Gentile day is recognized. Different calendar. Jesus said in Matthew 12:40, "So as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." I remember years ago I was telling somebody who was in the belly of the whale, I said, "It says big fish." I said, "It depends on where you read it. If you go to Matthew 12:40, it says in the whale's belly." I don't know about you, but I would say a whale is a big fish. Just saying. But they tried to argue with me because why? Every time you hear the story told, it's a big fish, right? But no. If you go to Matthew 12:40, it says whale's belly. So Jesus had to be crucified and placed in the tomb on Wednesday before sunset in order to arise 3 days and three nights on what we know as the Lord's Day, Sunday. The pagan holiday Ishtar was going on for hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. He and his followers kept the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They did not in any way keep the pagan holiday of Easter. They didn't. Christ's followers, in fact, were forbidden to keep any pagan holidays, any pagan customs, any pagan traditions. They were forbidden to do that. Then God himself, throughout the Old Testament, decreed these customs and traditions to be abominations. And I get it. People like to take pagan holidays and Christianize them. You can't do it. It doesn't work. The pagan customs of Easter eggs and Easter rabbit are associated with this holiday because of their giving reproductive characteristics. The inference that Easter rabbit laid the Easter eggs is a lie and has no place in true Christian worship. None. Remember, this pagan goddess Ishtar was the so-called fertility goddess. She is also referred to as Diana, the goddess of fertility, to the Ephesians in Ephesus. There were statues of her there as the multi-breasted goddess, also referred to as the spring goddess, renewing life. Another custom that is often observed at this holy occasion is the Easter sunrise service. It also is an ancient pagan custom of worship to the sun god, Tammuz. Tammuz, a Phoenician deity. So they get up as the sun rises to worship Tammuz, not the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel, turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz." Tammuz. Let me just say that I believe any time at all that you worship God is a great time. It's a great time. Just know where the sunrise service originated. Just know where this began. Know why they do it. They'll tell you it's a different reason, but just know where it came from. Once again, we see how Satan is at work. Satan knew that Jesus rising from the grave would be discovered in the early sunrise hours, and that the Christian church would want to hold sunrise services to celebrate, right? Satan knew all that. Satan counterfeited the divine birth of Jesus, of the Virgin Mary, over 3,000 years before he was actually born. People at that time had heard about and remembered the conversation that God had with Satan in Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15, a very, very, very well-known scripture. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He knew all of that. By the way, no man was involved in that. We read about Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. From ancient history, we are told that his wife's name was Semiramis. After some time, Nimrod died, and Semiramis became pregnant out of wedlock. She then proclaimed that her unfathered son, Tammuz, was actually Nimrod incarnate. Nimrod was recognized as the sun god Baal. Lent is another pagan celebration. Lent is a commemoration of Tammuz, his death. The legend of his death says that he was killed by a wild boar when he was 40 years old. Therefore, Lent celebrates one day for each day of his life. And so people celebrate Lent for 40 days. And that's where that comes from. We can see God's anger over this commemoration in Lent in turning back to Ezekiel chapter 8. Starting in verse 14. We'll read through 18. Ezekiel 8, starting in 14. "Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east, and they worshipped the sun towards the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put a branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them." God's judgment for this commemoration is described in Ezekiel chapter 9. I suggest you read it. Know what it says, and read it carefully. "For God has stated that he will similarly punish any nation who does not hear and obey his commands." In Jeremiah 12:17, he says, "But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord." Sounds like he takes it seriously. To the pagan religious worshipers, it is a time to celebrate the return of life and reproduction to animal and plant life as well. This is why Ishtar, or Easter, was chosen to be celebrated at this very time of year. Because it has to do with everything coming back to life, right? We like it when the plants in our gardens bloom, right? When they come back to life after being dormant all winter long. I don't know if you've noticed, but I was out in the walking around the church building the other day, and I said, isn't it beautiful that everything got cut back in the fall? So now it's not the new coming up with the old, it's just the new coming up, and it's beautiful, and things are going to start blooming here before long, and it's going to be beautiful again. But that's what happens this time of year, right? We can bank on the fact that every year in the spring, things come back to life. They go dormant in the fall, they come back to life in the spring. Well, because we want to be true Christians or followers of Christ, we recognize that God ordained Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the holy day celebration that would correctly commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Israel was commanded to keep the Passover, not the New Testament church. The New Testament church has Jesus as our Passover. To keep the Passover is the first commandment God gave to the children of Israel. He commanded that it be observed forever as a memorial. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 16. If you would, please. And verse 3, Deuteronomy 16:3, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And then Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The Apostle Paul admonished the church of Corinth with these words over in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. First Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Do you see how his death, burial, and resurrection fulfill all these wonderful truths and facts? In other words, by his crucifixion, the very time of the Passover, Christ was and is the Passover lamb. He became the final sacrifice for sins for all those that would receive him. And then John the Baptist said in John 1:29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." The sin of the world, excuse me. And Hebrews 10:4 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So at the Last Supper, Jesus instituted a new way for his disciples to commemorate the Passover. We can see in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28 of Matthew 26. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." According to scriptures, Jesus Christ himself ordained this method of keeping the Passover in memory of his death. In our day and time, good-meaning people that truly love the Lord have been raised in churches all their lifetime referring to this most holy occasion of his resurrection from the dead as Easter. And why? Because they haven't been taught differently. They haven't been taught the truth. I went to church. I grew up as a child in church. I went and they said, this is Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you assume, right, that somebody who opens the Word of God and stands in the pulpit tells you the truth, right? Why do you think I'm so adamant about don't just take what somebody says, search the scriptures and make sure? Because we can all be deceived. We need to know for sure what the Word of God says. But God's people are commanded to follow him, not the traditions of men. God's ways are higher and better than man's ways. Men cannot determine for themselves right from wrong or how to properly worship God. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit to help us with that. The reason is because the heart is deceitful, right? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps, the Bible tells us. To be a Christian and to properly serve God, talking properly to serve God, we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. If we are going to live by every word, then we need to know what every word is. We need to recognize that the Holy Scriptures cannot be broken. Man's tried, right? Satan has tried desperately to break the Word of God. And so we have many, many perversions of the Word of God. But God's Word is still true. God commands Christians to flee pagan worship, pagan traditions, pagan customs. Flee from them. Don't get involved in them. Currently led and deceived by Satan, the devil, all the pagan customs and traditions and rituals are all come from Satan. So are we following Satan or are we following God? The Bible tells us that God hates all pagan, every last one of them, every pagan observance, God hates them. So why get involved in them? Again, you cannot take a pagan tradition and Christianize it because man can't clean those up. Not going to work. You take a holiday that Satan is behind and you try to make it something that you honor God and you can't do it. Because, see, God knows what it truly is. So we don't celebrate Easter. Celebrating Resurrection Day. Resurrection Day. By the way, every Sunday should be Resurrection Day. The first day of the week when God set out that we come together to worship Him. The first day of the week when Christ arose from that sepulcher. The empty tomb. The empty tomb. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is alive and well. And the Bible tells us He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And we keep Him pretty busy. So let's know why we celebrate stuff and what God's Word says about it before we just blatantly follow the traditions of men. Now again, I'll say, I didn't bring this forth. God didn't give me this to rain on anybody's Easter parade, right? Wasn't what it was for. It was to equip the saints to know the truth of what the Word of God says. We need to be equipped so that we can go out and share with others. Now, I'll tell you, it's not going to be a popular message. There's going to be some that'll say, that's not true. But I took you to Scripture to show you, because it's got to be from the Word of God and not from me. God wants us to know the truth. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's hard to change something that you've known and that you've observed your whole life, right? But when you know the truth will make you free. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths of your word. We thank you that when we study Scripture and we follow through and try to search out what you have for us, things make more sense. Things start to take meaning. It's easy to read that Easter is in the Bible. That word appears. So therefore, it must be biblical that we celebrate such a day. But through further examination, we can find that that's not the truth. So I pray, Father, that we've learned today the truth from your word, and that we will apply it to our lives, and that we will share the truths with others. Father, if there's someone in our midst today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be that day. I pray that they're not wandering through this life aimlessly about, but that their life would have purpose and meaning because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. Father, for born-again Christians today, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, I pray that if we've learned something today, that we would take heed of what we've learned and apply it to our life. Father, we'll have a time of invitation as always. Turn it over to you, and you have free reign in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able, as the piano plays this morning. If you've never been saved and you need to, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you've been saved, you learn something new from the Word of God, maybe you need to come and thank God for revealing the truth. Maybe you need to come and pray for others who are steeped in pagan worship and pagan religions and pagan traditions. Whatever the case may be, as the piano plays, if you need to come, you come.